following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Welcome to the show that we're doing right now.
What the hell are we doing on this show?
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
Let's go.
What is this?
Giggity, 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 goo.
Who else but
the Q?
It's showtime. Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q. You're listening to the best pop culture, current events, and current affairs show east and west of that Mississippi, hailing from the great city of St. Louis and worldwide at theqnow.com. I am your host, Mark Bland, and it has been a whirlwind week. I will discuss how I was censored on Facebook. Censored on Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the bleeding heart moderate that I am, because you all think I'm a liberal, but I just have liberal tendencies at times. Today I am joined by none other than, if I were so bold as to go back to the first episode of The Q that ever existed, it would have this gentleman, fresh from a Thanksgiving dinner, on it. And that gentleman, or something, yeah, it was a Thanksgiving dinner, somebody with your family or something like that, some side get together that happened like a few days after Thanksgiving, because I think I taped on a Sunday. But one Mr. Anthony Cabral, Tony Cabral is here, Ace Films. What's going on, Tony?
Hi, how you doing, Marky Mark?
Man, I am doing fantastic. I host a radio show called The Cape, and this is what I've been doing.
Do you really? That's amazing to learn.
You jet set around the world and go to film festivals like the Sundance Film Festival. We talked to you from there. You just got back recently from that.
And, my 19th year of doing that.
19 years of going there. Not getting paid, not getting any of your network to get any of your movies produced. What are you doing with all this time at the Sundance Film Festival? Let's be honest.
Well, no, it is true. Yes, I am still considered a volunteer in the ranks.
At this point, I think Redford considers you like part of the side council.
In true fact, no. I mean, it's always been a great opportunity to network, to use as my continuing education in this industry as it evolves, having seen the trends as they've come and gone.
You know what?
So forth.
It's a very important thing you just brought up. One of the greatest things that was ever said to me in college by a professor was, he said, you're only going to fail when you stop learning.
Yes.
So once you leave our classrooms, you need to do it on your own.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't do it on your own, you're going to, like, don't get me wrong, experience is a very helpful learning tool. But at the same point, you also don't know everything. And not everyone around you all knows the same things either. So you can learn quite a bit from people outside of your typical normal everyday circle and individuals you interact with in the job you do.
But, I mean, if you think about it in true fact, you couldn't do The Q as amazingly as you have for as long as you have if you were not able to stay abreast of the newest information out there, the new people who love you and hate you simultaneously.
Yes.
Because you have
death
to
threats.
Stay.
Death threats.
Oh, God.
That's how I get death threats. There
because
it is.
You have to stay on top of the information. You know, in a day and age now, I mean, when we first together sat in a recording studio, recorded our first radio show together.
Yes.
Was Primetime with Mark and Tony, which was back, you know, the biggest social network in the world.
11 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever.
Was MySpace.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook was just breaking away from being solely academic.
That's right.
You know, Alphabet as a company didn't exist. It was still Google.
Which is funny how fast they turned around that social media movie. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
like, they turned it, and it was great. They did a great job. I'm just saying, they turned around so fast.
But I mean, so much of what we did, you know, we do today is reliant upon the social networking world, using the internet, you know, the ability to disseminate information and news and gather the same. Whereas back then, we didn't have this luxury of, there was technology, there was still social media, there was still news online, but not like it is today.
And that's a great segue, because speaking.
Yes.
Of marketing yourself.
Sure.
On said social media platforms.
Yes.
I had a defector from my, so years ago, I'll give you the cliff notes real quick for everybody who hasn't heard it talked about multiple times on the shows over the years. I had a situation where, when Facebook first came around, they didn't have business pages and profile pages for like celebrities and stuff. You just had your page.
Right.
And on my page, I started doing my radio show. I started doing promoting my radio show on my thing. Well, that drew a lot of politically minded individuals along with people who were already my friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't go over very well for many people. But it grew in popularity so big and so fast, there was nothing I could really do about it.
Sure.
So I just maintained that stance and continued to discuss and talk about politics and promote it on my main Mark Bland page on Facebook. And it's still kind of my whatever profile page you want to explain for, I guess, the character, the celebrity, whatever you want to look at it. However,
well,
you want to look
I try to also emphasize with you, there's the Mark Bland, who is one of my best friends, who I've known for years.
And somebody
and
asked me.
This other Mark Bland, who lives imminently and omnipotently in the ethers of the internet.
Yes. I was asked recently, like, how much of the show is me? And I would say about 40%. I would say that there's like
I would venture a little bit more, maybe. 40%?
Well, no. I feel like the I lay the character on relatively thick and heavy when I need to play the devil's advocate.
You have grown into a character more, yes.
But at the same point, like, there is still quite a bit. Like, when I want to talk to you guys about a real issue, and this is a real issue. Let's break it down for you right now. This is a real issue. So, I promote my show. Well, the newest show that I just had with our friend Jonathan May about the Black Panther movie and the racist undertones that have come out of the people that like it versus dislike this surgence of a pre-movie tickets being sold and all this.
Okay.
I went to market it like I do. Now, it's the 347th show I've recorded.
That means number.
346 other shows have been promoted and put onto Facebook.
And that's just the
queue.
That's just the queue, ladies and gentlemen. That's just the queue. We did quite a number of primetime and the early incarnations of the queue now.
Plus, I got Absolute Wrestling Radio. I got AWR. Right. I got, like, there's all kinds of stuff. My point is 346 times this has already been done before.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a problem.
Sure.
Until I do this one, and it basically explains that it's about race and culture. And I tagged people on it.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, I sent it off. Well, it comes back. And I get this letter back that says, hey, we've stopped your post and we've restricted your access because we need to check this out. It has been tagged for spamming and being potential fake news.
Fake news?
Yes. Fake news media.
Now, was this a Trump SS assignment?
This is a story. This literally is a 1 hour podcast where two white dudes and a black guy get together and talk about the Black Panther movie and the potential racial undertones that exist within it.
You don't have like Jeff Sessions in a Hobbit uniform running around telling you
he
does something wrong.
I don't have I don't have anybody with flaming torches from Charlottesville standing behind me. I understand these things, but my access was restricted for quite a while.
Okay.
And it's kind of ridiculous. And then I come to find out, so I work with a social media team, right? I got this dope group of social media people that I work with, that I talk to, that monitor my stuff, and they help me increase, like, my better content, the things I can or can't say, what I should or shouldn't say. Sometimes, you know, but monitoring the social media aspect of things, I get a lot of trolls. I get a lot of hate mail. I get a lot of different things. And
well, I think anybody, when they begin to speak their mind as omnipotently as you do,
now,
it's going to have people that want to.
These individuals also, they're real connected too. So when I got this note, I sent it off to them. They sent it off to whoever they send their thing off to. And it comes back and they're like, yeah, it looks like he went down this alley and it pops the algorithm. And, you know, because it said race and culture in it. And I'm like, okay. All right, so
now you're going a little far.
Now, but there's one step deeper here, Tony.
What's the deeper step?
This is where the lead got buried.
Okay,
this is where somebody turned it in.
Somebody clicked report link.
Somebody clicked report, and then the algorithm kicked in and stated that this needs to be restricted, and it definitely falls under this alley. Okay, that was explained to me. Now, so
I'm still amazed you're hearing the word fake news associated with you.
But potentially a defector. A defector from my Facebook page who was very unhappy with me.
For?
Well, let's just say I don't agree with them.
Okay.
And that's it. I just don't agree with them.
Okay.
And I don't like petty comments.
Right.
Being thrown in when it has nothing to do with the topic. And I think I've stated many a time, and Tony, you've probably read a few of the posts where I've stated this, focus on the topic, not the messenger. Focus on, stay on topic. Right. Like, if we're talking about this over here, don't bring this up and don't start talking about who posted it.
You chose this platform.
Right. No, I know.
As a way to just start the conversation.
Right.
That's everything that you originally, well, initially, it was you and I sitting on my porch having conversations and going,
still
which is on the radio.
The basis for the show.
Now, yes.
Still is. So when this happens, I go, well, why? Well, then I start to run down my interactions with said individual.
Okay.
They were all because of posts where I attacked or said, I'll say attacked or said something about conservatives in a negative way. Fair enough. You're going to have detractors from that idea
who
follow your page because you're going to have people that love you that listen to you as well as people that just hate you.
The haters listen as longer than the lovers because they want to know everything that you said.
Right. All right. Okay. So. What we've got here, ladies and gentlemen, is a whiny conservative. And this is what killed me. This is what broke my heart, ladies and gentlemen. He's military.
Okay.
He's a military man. He is super patriotic. He is America.
Now, what unpatriotic thing did you say, Mark?
Well, here's the thing. I basically explained to him, hey, listen, I'm going to remove this because it has nothing to do with the main topic.
Okay.
Just giving you a heads up.
Okay.
Type thing.
Sure.
And he basically came back and said, you make me laugh, ha, ha, ha. So I just deleted the comment. I gave you the warning. You read it. Sure. You responded to it.
Right.
At this point, now I'm going to delete the comment.
Yeah, you have every right to.
Right. I said, it wasn't because the person's a bad person or I hate the person.
Right.
It's literally just because the comment had nothing to do with the topic.
Sure.
Well, that pissed him off immediately.
Of course.
You can't message him. You can't. Oh, you're blocked. Up. And then... Then you go to post your show, or you're unfriended, not blocked. You know what I'm saying?
Unfriended, yeah.
You're unfriended, not blocked. And then all of a sudden you go to post your show, and before you know it, boom, this happens, and then you're blocked.
Okay.
By that person.
Okay.
After this note comes through to you.
Sure.
So when you first checked, you were just unfriended.
Sure.
Then you're blocked.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I've got a really good idea, and that's petty. Listen.
Well, you know what?
I'm not even going to knock you, dude. I'm just saying you're petty. That's a petty move, man.
But can I?
But if that's
I
okay.
If
that's
I may. Choice. I mean, you know me. I love to have...
But I love the fact that Facebook jumped so hard with their algorithm on this. I think because it's an important episode that I wanted to really get out there because I think a lot of people would find as deep as we went in that episode.
Sure.
I feel like that there's a lot of value in it for both black individuals as well as white individuals or anyone who's listening to the show.
Of course.
The conversation goes deep. But now it doesn't get to be promoted and pushed out the way all the other shows
ever have
been.
Here's something also, if I may. I mean, you know me. I'm like the king of analogies. And I like to always have a parallel.
You got one chambered for me?
I got one chambered for you.
Okay.
Which is, I have a lot of friends also who happen to be models and pose for photographers all over the world, whatever else.
Sure.
And almost every one of my friends who has been a model, whether they're on the lower end of modeling, like local, regional, or whether it be national or internet, whether it be more risque or even more conservative type, whatever else, every girl who I know, or guys, some guys, who have been models online and use Facebook as one of their platforms to post pictures or whatever else, has someone out there in a petty way, much in this case, who clicks report photo.
Yep.
It might be a bikini photo. Maybe it's lingerie. Maybe it's even just a regular photograph. Some idiot in a petty, jealous way clicks report photo just to be that person.
I on a couple shows ago, I stated to Merriam-Webster's dictionary that I'm going to make petty the word of the year.
Oh.
In 2018. Petty will be the word of the year. And this is petty. You just use it again.
Yes.
Petty bitterness. We have become such petty people because of Trump.
It's because
of Trump. Listen. 2 years ago, I would have never thought of saying petty. 2 years ago. That's 2 years. That's Barack Obama's last year, and it's before Trump became in office. Now, The pettiness is out of control from everybody. It's so ridiculous. And, now, and it's even friends and family.
If I may.
I got family that won't even click on a like. Oh, listen, listen, listen. I could post a picture of my wife and my two kids, right? No connotation to me whatsoever. Completely three independent individuals that my entire family knows, right?
Right.
And I'm followed by or you know, friended with quite a few of those individuals sure. in my family.
Sure.
If I posted that picture, out of the 50 people to 60 people I'm friends with that are family on Facebook, probably less than 15 would like it or say a word about it. That's now, how
does that
petty.
Fall, does that fall into how crazy oh, the timeline God, is, or is it just a petty thing?
That's a petty thing.
Because there's a lot of timeline folks that, like, they don't, like, I mean, you and I have done this many a times.
They just
like,
go through the timeline, read it, and they don't
like,
care?
You just, like, you have 10 minutes, whether sure. you're in a car, an Uber, or you're on a train, or you're indisposed, and you're like, I'm going to scroll through my timeline, and you get about 30, 40 posts down, and the post that you were talking about doesn't pop up, because someone might have a lot of friends, or a lot of people who like to post a lot, whatever the case may be. That thing does happen.
Okay, fair enough.
Just fair enough, that's just fair. In devil's advocate mode.
No, you're fine.
I mean, if I may, for just one moment. Mm. Now, I will not relate all these things to
the you gotta have this.
Oh.
That's the scepter of devil's advocate.
The scepter of devil's advocate. Thank you very much. Thank you. Serious. Yes. I'm not gonna blame the fact that I, too, would like to help in whatever way I can.
Sure, of course.
Make petty the great word of 2018. Not because of the Oompa Loompa sitting in the Grand White
what
House.
What is the pettiest thing that has happened to you in the last year?
Let's not even go there.
The pettiest thing, dude.
I think the reason petty is such an important word now is the fact that so many people have come to literally live solely in this social network world. Whether it be on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or anything else, they literally solely live in this vicariousness through social media.
Go ahead.
And this is like, I mean, I'm sure you're aware. Mm. I mean, you have children. That a few months back, Facebook launched Facebook Kids, which is their like little app to communicate between kids, whatever else. Parents have to officially load it and approve who sees it.
I did not know about any of this. This is actually interesting.
Doesn't allow likes. Doesn't allow anything else. And there's a lot of psychologists and a lot of doctors who are saying this is a bad thing because kids
indoctrination
Facebook's concept I think is the indoctrination of using a platform to interact and whatnot to play with the
serotonin levels all that getting right. it affected wanting
However,
to click and like yeah
how, but there's no likes there's no likes
right
the
but
kid,
still
the
just starting
space.
To train them that
yes,
gateway
interact,
drug
interact, yeah, interact. Yes.
the gateway drug of life
where there's now psychologists and doctors that are using this you know pledge of you know wait till eighth like using eighth grade as the medium of saying you shouldn't have kids on social media before that. And so many of these, you know, iGen, we discussed on a show previously that I was on with you, the iGen, this new generation of kids that have grown up with the iPhone or in the smartphone generation who know nothing but these apps, these social media platforms, and that's all they know. I mean, when their world revolves around the like, and they're, and like, you've got kids now who are, what do they call it, swatting? They're playing a video game,
yes,
and
yes,
they
correct.
And they start to lose because someone else, and they call
they get into an
the
argument
SWAT
and then they
team
go swat
on that person.
On that person.
You know, people don't like that you're, oh, I, you're getting,
do you
oh,
know what,
so-and-so's getting 5,000 likes on their picture.
Stop.
I'm
report
their picture.
Rewind a second for the swatting thing.
Oh, gotcha.
What's really interesting about the swatting thing
okay.
is how easy it is to get the IP address pinned down to a geometric location
oh, yeah.
that you can Google map and then send the SWAT team to a house. And see, like, you have these kids who are really into computers mm-hmm. because they were indoctrinated into these apps early on.
Yes.
And so now they get on the computer. They know how to hack things. They know how to do stuff.
They're teaching kids to code.
When
in grade
I was
yeah.
in, when I was 16 years old, I was a part of a BBS networks where people mm-hmm. would do phone fracking and hacking. I was 16 years old.
I was
and
part
this
of
is,
mucks and mushes when I was in college.
This is 1991, 92. So, right. like, it's been around for years. Young people like to get into hacking and fracking and all these different things. Well, swatting, interestingly enough, requires some hacking ability. You have to be able to run an IP address program that's illegal to have, a black hat program. And it'll pop the IP address, give you the geometric location, you know, triangulated, and then that'll give you the address of the mm-hmm. individual off of their PlayStation, their Xbox, whatever they're playing it on, mm-hmm. and then you turn around and you make a phone call to the local police department right there, and then you say, this is happening. And here's the problem. How are they not to take it serious?
Right.
Do you know why? Because back in the day, we had a cell phone. We had no cell phones. We had phones that were on a wall. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't just take them from city to city.
Right.
They were only attached to that city.
Right.
So if you made a phone call from one phone, they were going to call back. And if it came from an exterior area code, in most cases,
right.
that wasn't local. And they wouldn't take it as serious. Now, you could have a 415 number, but be down in Phoenix
right.
making the phone call. So right. here's the deal. You're petty. You're crazy, and you need to stop, all of you.
Listen,
I'm talking to conservatives.
Yes.
I'm talking to, listen, I watched a documentary. You like movies and stuff?
Of course I do.
What do you think about that? You like movies and stuff, Ace Films?
Of course I do.
Okay. So check it out. There's a TV show that's on Netflix. Netflix got 4,000 gajillion TV shows they put out a week, okay? And they're all Netflix originals, and they're all the craziest things in the world.
Of course.
All right? Well, they got one called Dirty Money. And it talks about different individuals and things that have happened within the world of finance and economics mm-hmm. that were major stories that affected real things in this world that mm-hmm. maybe passed you by. You didn't think about or didn't
right.
realize the first time around when you heard about HSBC mm-hmm. or this company over here or, you know, even the Enron thing.
I'm familiar with it.
Okay. Well, the sixth episode of that is called Confidence Man. And the word con is in yellow. Everything else is in white. Con, like Confidence Man. It's the yeah. story of Donald Trump. It's amazing. Because you have former members of The Apprentice that are on there talking about how hostile the work... After you won the show, you got to work for Trump for a year
right.
within his organization. How hostile the work environment was. How bullish the people were.
Really?
This is just a dude who won a show. Like, Donald Trump gave him his money. He got to work for his company. Like, he served up this dude everything that he was owed. And guess what? This guy still worked there and was like, yo, this guy, no. No. I appreciate the opportunity. It was a great part of my life, but no. And was it just him?
If I may.
It wasn't just him. They get into the election time.
Okay.
They get into all of it, man. And they have basically routed out how petty of an individual, how bullish, mm-hmm. how hive-minded that Donald Trump is as a human being. And after watching this, I don't think you can honestly, I'm not saying that every little thing, listen, for every story that comes out that's an hour long that will trash Donald Trump from top to bottom.
Sure.
There's a bunch of things Donald Trump has done in his life that are of equal value, okay. that were good.
Sure.
It happens with every human being.
I think everybody has it, yeah.
Okay, and the ones that it doesn't happen for, the ones that go out and murder somebody, they usually get caught and they go to jail or they get killed themselves.
Sure.
Okay, so the world has a weird way of working itself out.
Okay.
But, Tony.
Sir.
Military parade.
Okay.
Military parade. You've heard about this? Have you heard about the military parade? I mean, we talked about it on last week's show a little bit, but have you heard about the military parade?
I know what a military parade is. What are we referring to here?
No, our friend Donald Trump.
Okay.
Specifically told General John Kelly.
Okay.
During a press conference, in no uncertain terms.
Oh, God.
He would like a full regalia military parade down the center of Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., every arm of the military to do it just like,
like the small guy over in Korea?
Or the other guy over in Russia? Or the other guy who used to burn people up in ovens? Or a lot of different people that like this. And here's the problem. You see.
You had a whole lot of Voldemorts in that one sentence.
With our friend who liked to burn people up in the oven, Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
He was doing this prior to starting World War II, he was already doing military parades for himself.
Okay.
So these ideas that there is no connections or no like fold over between our friend Donald Trump and Adolf Hitler in certain cases is complete bullcrap. That's not fake news. To his defense, he has not had the military parade yet. So I cannot sit there and say that Donald Trump has officially set up a military parade and had it for himself. Now,
I mean, okay.
Where do you stand on this idea? What goes through your mind when I tell you this?
Well, a dangerous conversation is ahead. Danger, Robinson, danger. I don't know. I think the hard thing is I mean, I am very, very pro-military. I'm very much for the men and women who defend and honor their country by serving in the armed forces, and I will always say that fact. I think the hardest thing is. You know, when you see people who run and must have these military shows of force,
it's usually for a personal, self-serving, egomaniacal kind of mindset.
Sure.
That they want to see all these men and women march by and salute them, you know. In this, and I think the tournament I'd heard.
Would you say that it's for his resume? Is that kind of where we're going? You don't think for his resume? Like, you don't think that he wants to be able to say,
something
I had a full military parade for myself?
Something I heard recently in a conversation, and I have listened to... Because
I believe totally it's for his resume.
I've listened to both, you know, liberal and conservative, you know, radio shows and newscasts and everything else. And something that I heard recently was the fact that it's interesting to see that our current president is strangely attempting to blur or more define the line of what is allegiance to the country and what is allegiance to him.
Sure. And there, once again, another thing where you had the SS and the Nazis.
And this is something that begins to push that line of, does he want to see them pledge their salute to him or to this country?
Oh, no, he wants it to him.
And that's the problem. Because it
see it. You see, well, here's the problem. With Barack Obama, he was too nice, and you would say maybe slick, but he definitely was a smart and educated man.
Oh yeah,
and he knew his he understood his presence well.
Sure did.
And so if there was, they always have to hang some conspiratorial thing on his head because there's nothing that he was doing on a day to day basis that would just like tip you off.
Be nefarious, correct?
Right. Well, but to tip you off.
You know,
with Donald Trump, he wears it on his sleeve. This isn't made up stuff. It's, I'm in a press conference. Here's video of every major news organization that I like. Not even the ones that need to be there. Just the ones that I like. They put out the video of me telling John Kelly, I want a full military parade.
Let's just back up a little bit. Let's back up and let's look at who this man is. I get and understand there was a lot of people in this country who wanted to break apart from this political monster, dare I say the term political nightmare of having
the swamp,
politicians over politicians, the swamp concept in Washington, and they wanted somebody different who was going to have a different mindset. Here's this individual who has rebounded multiple times from bankruptcy and blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something. When we discussed this before, and you kind of brought it up a minute ago when you discussed his winner from The Apprentice, remember something. You know, 5 years ago, this man was on a TV show, on a game show, on television.
Yes.
And now he is doing the same thing with our country. The thing that you mentioned, and it's very, very important for us to really remember, is this man might have run multi-billion dollar corporations, but he does not run a publicly traded company. He never has. All of his companies are basically
privately held,
privately and family owned. So when a company is privately or family owned,
they don't answer anyone.
They don't have to answer to stockholders the way a regular CEO does.
Or the way a president might have to.
Or a president has to with constituents.
Correct.
So the irony in the situation is, as much as every single speech he makes and has made since election night, everything sounds like a continued campaign speech with competed campaign rhetoric.
One of the best lines in the movie was from these people that worked for this side healthcare company, and the company put out a big email that said, hey guys, we're getting ready to go to the next level. We got a secret person who's going to invest and be a part of this. And they come to find out it's Donald Trump. And in that first year and a half, their company did gangbusters. They're getting $10,000, $15,000 checks a month in their bank accounts. Like, it's like things are going great. Well, then
in a public
Trump
company.
Trump and they would sell these kind of like Trump University, but they were more like events like Tony Robbins, like those type of events, like, you know, how to become rich type all right. So he does all these,
sure,
and all the people were these two nice people, they're married, they were like, everybody was in,
sure,
like, because Trump makes you feel like you're going to get rich and he's going to help you and you are going to feel good about it. And it's the right way to be an American is rich and American.
Sure.
And then their famous line right at the end was, and all it was talk and feelings. That's all it was. He makes you feel safe and like you're going to get rich in the Midwest. For you Bible belters, huh? You flyovers.
Well,
you're
going to
get
time,
rich. And you know what? You love your George Strait, but you love your Donald Trump too. And he's going to help you get rich.
But like I said, I think people
wanted...
And
he's
going to
do through tax cuts and hammering them black peoples, right? That's what he's going to do.
Well, no, it's here's a guy who forgets the fact that he can... He tries to play to the individual audience.
Sure.
So I'm talking to Michiganians. I'm going to talk about this industry. If I'm talking to Iowans, I'm going to talk about this industry. Missourians, it's this industry. Floridians, it's this industry. Californians, it's this industry. And he tries to preach to whoever it is. The problem is, at a point, you start to double talk yourself. You begin to sound like a waffle who keeps flipping back and forth because you're trying to talk to the individual room, forgetting the fact that this is also going to get recorded and broadcast back later. I mean, how many things in the last 18 months has this man attempted to say, oh, I didn't say that, when there's proof he said that? Or he said, we've caught him constantly double talking and backpedaling.
That's all he does.
But the more important fact is everyone looked at him like, oh, hey, out of these two people, it's like the lesser of two evils. A lot of Americans said, well, let's try somebody who's not a politician to try to change the system.
And you know what? That probably would have worked with a better person of character.
But the difference is that if it was, people looked at it like, here's a businessman who has run businesses, multi-billion dollar businesses.
How much of that do you think is played off this...
I think
fable that America's like a business.
I think that's
a fabled story that people kind of pass around.
It
is. You know, the country's just like a business, and so is the church.
But,
you know, well, they always say
on,
that.
Hold on. They do. But here's the thing. I believe if you had a person who had been a CEO of publicly traded companies successfully and grown.
You just need a person of better character with the same ideas.
They understand that you have to worry about your employees and you have to worry
and
about
your
investors.
Your brand.
And your brand.
While it's in the hands of other people. That's the most important part.
And that's why those people would have been a better candidate for the situation.
Sure.
The problem is, this guy now is there and people looked at him and said, well, hey, he's a businessman. He's run successful businesses. He's come out of bankruptcy several times.
You wanted a Republican? You could have got Kasich, guys. You really could have. Good dude. I'm serious. And he's a hardcore Republican. But
there's a lot of people that I think they could have got.
I think
the difference is this is who they got. I think he was attempting.
You don't think.
Well, I know. I mean, he's there. He's the president.
Right.
And at the same time, when you break down what he did in 2016 as the candidate, he used very strategic marketing ploys to ingrain in people's heads nicknames for people that were disparaging.
Oh yeah.
And those
Crooked Hillary.
Crooked Hillary, little Marco.
Little Marco.
All these different names that disparage who they were, only for the fact that it's kind of like when you hear that really stupid jingle on a radio commercial, it sticks in your head because that's what you remember. Well, you give them a stupid nickname. Stupid nickname sticks.
No. Stupid people think stupid nicknames stick and then they run with them. That's the truth, because did they stick with you?
Well,
no, they didn't. They didn't stick with me.
And
they didn't stick with a lot of people. But there was a lot of people they stuck with. And those people, yeah, I don't care if you think that my stereotypes are ridiculous. They do like Duck Dynasty. No, they do. They think that The Apprentice is real. Like, dude, in that documentary on Dirty Money, they have the assistant executive producer as well as one of the lead writer or whatever on the show. And he's basically like, dude, when we walked into Trump Towers... It looked like it was built in the late 70s, early 80s, and the furniture was still from the late 70s and early 80s. Like, there was chipped wood edges and stuff like that, and they were like, we have to gussy this place up and make it look this way. And they built an entire studio in Trump Tower.
Right.
And to make it look that way. And you guys believe it because he says he's rich, and then they played a theme song, and it shows him getting off jets and flying helicopters with his name, and you go, just like Jim and those guys down there with Duck Dynasty, he's the legit stuff. And then you voted for him. Because he said he's going to put a chicken in every pot and make you feel good. And Obama's economy had been rising on the Dow for many, many years.
Oh, yeah. I don't...
By itself.
Yeah.
And then he took over and it went up 1,000 points. He goes, look at me. I did it. I did it better. And then it went 2,000 points. I did it again. And then 500 more. I did it again. It's like, yeah, you're going to keep doing it.
And now, after a year of dealing with whatever he's been doing, now all of a sudden it's catch-up time.
It's all... talk.
Can I also go
and
somewhere
feelings.
Else?
It makes you feel like
there
you're
is one
rich.
Other aspect to this entire
you're just
thing.
Ignoring everything. I
no,
said.
I'm not. No, no. I don't know why. You're right. Touchy feely. That's the way Americans like it these days.
You're petty.
You know, touch my feelings and pet my feelings. Yes,
petty.
A lot of petty.
I'm being petty. I'm a very petty person. Yes.
I think a big thing also was when media was deregulated. People now will watch a specific network only. Hey, it's like, hey, I leave my TV on this channel. It happens to be on that channel. The problem is certain channels have very one-sided opinions of
sure.
the world.
And there's nothing
we
wrong with that.
They have every
right to have that.
Now, correct. Now, a few people don't realize that a few years back, that was not the case. When it was when the media was regulated to a degree where you had to be fair and balanced,
sure.
If you said one side, you had to show the other side and back and forth. Now you don't have to do that. Now, most of the honorable news sources out there, I will say, do attempt.
Can you give me the name of one?
Can I give you the name of one of my fair and balanced news sources?
Sure, because I think America deserves to hear one.
I'm very partial to CBS. Personally.
You like the CBS. I like the BBCs.
BBC's also great, yes. And there's a good chart to show the three major networks.
And actually, CNC out of Canada is not bad.
You're correct.
Global news, I think.
What's also very strange is I've seen the graph of how a lot of networks fall in, whether it be on the liberal or conservative, if they're legitimate or not legitimate.
Sure.
You know what one of the ones that struck me as being very interesting? Because it was right dead center with CBS, ABC, NBC, with BBC, with CNC. You know what one of the interesting ones that caught me off guard was?
What?
Al Jazeera.
Sure.
Al Jazeera was right dead center in the middle trying to paint a fair and balanced portrait of the world. You know what I'm saying? And people.
Yeah, that's because Al Jazeera made a switch around the time of the Michael Brown Ferguson incident.
Yes.
Al Jazeera kind of made a switch to a Vox and Vice styled
yes.
more network.
Yes.
And so by virtue of that, they're going for reality-based investigative journalism.
Yes.
And the stories present themselves. They
yes.
don't present the story. So it is what it is.
Sure.
And if it just comes off pretty fair one way or the other, mm-hmm. like, then that's just how that works.
But we know that in you know, at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the television
with
is,
the tank parked out in front.
It is yes. with the tank parked out in front. The TV's left on one channel, and we know because it's repeatedly tweeted at 6 a.m., 6:15, 6:30, 7:17, 7:30, 7:45, 8.
Yeah.
It's repeated every morning. How great that network is. I mean, you have to wonder, like, you know, that's the problem. It's like, where's the fair and balance? Where is trying to show both sides to a coin? You know what I'm saying? But that's just me personally.
I do understand. And
show everything.
I think we've talked enough about Trump. One
yes.
thing I want to talk about
okay.
was the fact that we did have Jonathan May on the last show. We discussed this. Racial undertones of the Black Panther movie.
Sure.
And to set this up properly, ladies and gentlemen, let's go down this road.
Okay.
Let's go down this road.
Going down the road.
Black Panther is a movie about a black superhero.
Yes.
Comes from a make-believe, because it's a story, African-styled nation.
Yes.
I think it's called Wakanda or something
Wakanda,
like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And they help the Avengers.
Yes.
Black Panther helps the Avengers. That's
yeah.
that's basically the story. And they
Wakanda
have a,
is
they have
where,
a hidden city or mystery
yeah,
city
yeah,
or something
Wakanda
like
that. Wakanda is the very secretive hidden country where the special metal that makes up like Captain America's shield comes from.
Okay.
Vibranium.
So but there's a lot of African tones
sure.
that are heavily used in the way they dress,
sure.
the way they handle themselves,
sure.
they interact on the show or on the movie.
Sure.
And when advance ticket sales started to outrun some of the other more successful aspects of the Marvel franchise,
okay,
it was kind of weird because this is kind of a side character. This isn't a main event character. It never has been. This is like a Nighthawk. You know, this is a side guy. This isn't a main eventer, and all of a sudden, a movie that hasn't even come out yet. Nobody's even seen.
Right.
They've got all these advanced tickets buying for it. Now, if you're going for Star Wars, I can look back and say, here's 3, 6, depending on when the movies come out.
Sure.
Movies that predate this.
Sure.
Excuse me.
You okay?
Excuse me.
Breathe.
That predate.
In, out.
Out. They predate these
okay.
to give that popularity. Okay.
Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, the character of Black Panther has been in a few previous Marvel movies.
Now, also, you can sit there and go, but they did this for Star Wars back in 76. 77, whenever it came out. Yeah, they 77, did.
77, yes.
They did. No, but they did. But the difference was, is that was a different time period. A lot of people made their decisions based off of a trailer. The trailer excited them.
Sure.
And it made them want to come see a movie. We don't get that anymore. You don't get that vibe anymore. In fact, you kind of get pissed off nowadays at trailers. Because you spend an exorbitant amount of money, sure. $20 a person, for these reclinable seats and the this, that, and the other. You know, they have seat warmers and it's a beautiful situation.
Sure.
The Tony Cabrals of the world who have been trudging in the movie houses of America for many years, they love this new era, the dawning of a new era of comfortable seating as they watch the Star Wars movie, okay? But at the end of the day, right?
Well, back in the day, one of the greatest things about going to the movies was, for the first 5 minutes, you might see three or four trailers for movies. Nowadays, the first 20 minutes of your time once your official showtime is constant trailers.
But here's the problem. It's based, you're right, but that the people that's the fact that they still do it in 2018 mm-hmm. is a harken back to nostalgia more it than is. Anything. But here's the problem. Nostalgia is great when you can't get it really anywhere else. See, that's the problem. Right. Nostalgia's great when the song you haven't heard since 1987 pops on the radio as a real rare song, and then you're like, wow, I haven't heard that in forever. Like,
right.
That's where the value is. And the reason why those people wanted to see those 15 minutes of trailers before their movie started was, well, guess
what?
See
what's coming out
it
next.
Gave them time to get their popcorn and stuff and to see what's coming out next, because at that time period, you couldn't get it. Now, right. It's literally dropped on your phone day of.
Yes.
You can watch every trailer of every movie you can watch on your phone the day it comes out. Doesn't matter
this past Sunday, during the Super Bowl, every single trailer as it ran, within 30 minutes, it was all online. You could watch it.
Half the commercials were already online. I had already seen three of the commercials before the Super Bowl even started. Now, I caught those in my feed.
That takes the magic away from the Super Bowl.
But that does. That's my point. It takes the magic away from the movie. So here's the thing. I pay an exorbitant rate, yes. right?
Uh-huh.
Your nostalgia, although it's cute and it's appreciated. I want the Werenberg song, because that's our local theater that everybody knows the song of. I want the Werenberg song more than I care about the trailers, because I'll go see whatever trailers it is. I'm staying up on top. I'm getting inundated with TMZ and this. And that. I'm like all day long on my Facebook feed and everywhere else. I know when every movie's coming out. I know who's in all the movies. Everything's already being told to me all the time, every day.
Well, started back in the early...
So years. Cut my damn... Either cut my ticket down. Cut my ticket down.
That will
or,
happen.
Or... Cut the trailers. Kill them off.
Well, and here's the thing.
Or make it one trailer is the only thing that can be shown before a movie, and then we go. End of story.
Personally, I think that...
and you pay for that exclusivity on your trailer.
I think that that should be the case, is if you're going to try in any way, shape, or form to offset a cost factor, it is the studio selling that one or two trailer preview before your film to either another film in their stable or to another outlet to promote something specific. You're correct. It is, I mean, you know, back in, you know, 25 years ago, a little over 25 years ago, a small European website exploded onto the world.
Okay.
It was four letters. And because I know I happened to last year, I purchased a domain.
Fark.
I purchased a domain name. Last Haro. Year that happens for a actually I got ace.film
Aces.
And I found out that ace was a small, it's three characters, meaning it's gonna have a higher price tag. A four character domain name back in the .com era, that it was four random letters that nobody really made sense of, but has blown up into one of the most populated websites in the world, as well as one of the number one sources for film and television information.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays...
You can pay a fee, and you can get access to the actual email addresses and phone numbers for, like, directors and writers.
There is IMDb Pro, yes.
I'm just saying, you can.
The industry...
It's that deep. Like, that guy who goes to see that Star Wars movie can contact... Maybe not get to the person, but they can contact and get close to...
You can email Rian Johnson's agent.
Right, sure, but you can get close to Rian Johnson. Like, I don't know Rian, but I'm at least a phone call away.
I mean, I'm not going to promote the nefarious use of the back end of IMDb Pro.
But that's the nefarious use of anything.
There is. I mean, anything has a nefarious use if somebody chooses to go that way. However, the reason I was bringing up is you're correct. In today's day and age, IMDb has the newest trailers you can watch for any movie that's upcoming. And they also will keep the cycle. If there's three trailers for a film, it'll say trailer one, trailer two, trailer three.
Do you feel...
You don't need to see them before a movie anymore.
Tony, do you feel that we are oversaturated with media at this point? Do you think that we've hit that point where we're over and we need not? You said earlier about sure. regulating TV.
Well, that was yeah,
right. But you were talking about the idea that regulating TV, and if you remember, before the banks were deregulated, ladies and gentlemen, savings and loans weren't falling apart in the late
80s. That's true.
Okay, so like it seems like the reason
deregulated, they get a bailout.
But my point is, it seems like
go ahead.
At one point in history, these same ideas and tricks and tactics were tried. They failed. That's why the laws were created and regulated them. And then you go back and you redo it because you think I'm Donald Trump or I'm so-and-so in the future. And I can do the exact same thing that those guys did 75 years ago, but I can do it better. So I'm going to deregulate everything to try my idea out. And guess what? You do the same thing. You create the same problems. And then it's something that needs to be re-regulated. Okay. Do we feel that maybe media needs to be regulated in access? Not saying that nobody can access it, but what I'm saying is like only certain things are going to be allowed in certain areas. You're only going to say, like, you're not going to be able to get trailers on your phone anymore. Now, you want to go to a website and just watch it on your laptop or your tablet? Fine. But you're not going to get it on your phone anymore. That's not going to happen. And we're like some way to make the value re-increase.
I think the thing is, being somebody also who, I mean, and you jokingly talked about going to so many venues like I've gone to, and seeing movies in so many different platforms like I've seen, you know, I get blessed when I go to things like Sundance or to other film festivals. There's no trailers for those movies. You might see the trailer for the festival
sure.
and then the movie. You know, if I go to a private screening of a film, a free consideration of screening of a film, whether it be from one of the guilds that I'm part of, there's no trailers for those movies. Lights go down, movie starts. And that is, like, you're there to see that movie. That's all I give it. That's all I care about. The difference that I see is I think you might be onto something, and it's something that I think is very interesting, which is, you know, first off, no. You want to regulate the world? No, you're not going to happen. In this day and age of this country, like, first off, I was heartbroken like the rest of the internet universe when this net neutrality thing all went down, and I don't. And it's funny to see somebody who comes from Verizon, I think it was, and he now is in charge of the FCC, claiming this is a good thing when I know this is completely a horrible thing. And somebody will, in quotes, nefariously take advantage of it.
But here's the problem. But you didn't think that it was a bad thing because you sat there and broke down all the ways net neutrality would work or not work. You did the same thing I did, probably. I would assume a word? I don't even know.
Not sure.
Assume. Many other people did, which was, you just know the stereotype of a Republican, and it's a Republican person making this decision, and you just know that it doesn't have a good underbelly. Like, you just know it doesn't, because
I wasn't looking at it from a political standpoint whatsoever. I was looking at it from that business standpoint and from the media and industry standpoint, which is, you know...
But it doesn't mean you're negative just because I say you have stereotypes. It just means you're used to having this thing that you do with your businesses.
No, I looked at it in a very simple way of, like, what was there before was, no matter who you were,
right.
if you were the Q Now or you were the Today Show,
right.
you have the right to stream equally on the internet.
Okay.
Okay? For the same broad... If as long as your servers are up and running And you know, Joe Blow on the side over here wants to watch the Today Show or listen or watch the Q Now.
Sure.
That it could be the same streaming speed either way, based upon their downloadability. Now, hey, I'm sorry, Mr. Bland. You're a small company. You need to pay this exorbitant amount of money so that you can stream the same way on this phone company, not this phone company, because we partner with, you know, this company over here.
Right.
You know, well, all of a sudden, now you're a small company. You can't afford that. Well, you're not going to stream very well on that company's system.
Nope.
All of a sudden, now
those customers are no longer able to see you.
Oh, you have to pay for level B access if you want to see your ESPN streaming, as well as your CNET and your this and your that.
Well, it's but actually, no.
No, actually, yes. That's literally
the inverse. You're referring to what the customer has to pay for to have access to.
Sure. That's the majority of us.
Right, but we're just paying, you know, and whatever we want to have access to on our channels.
What I'm saying is they'll take your open internet and they will layer it down.
No, net neutrality does the inverse on the backside, saying you as a content producer will get a limited access to this stream. It's like saying, no, you can't put your boat on this river because you're too small a boat.
Pay me.
Pay me and we'll give you access to the river. Well, no. The river should be free.
I already do pay you. It's called my monthly payment to the internet service provider.
Well, no, because what they're referring to is when you're trying to send information.
I love how you keep saying out. Like you're trying to explain it to me after I did like two whole shows on net neutrality. Keep going.
But what
I am enjoying this.
What I love is the fact that people were getting upset about it very clearly as the content consumer. It doesn't affect them. It affects the content producer. Putting the content out of the marketplace because, oh,
that company, is something I covered on one of the shows.
Yes. Company A says, oh, no, you must pay us to be on this network to be the same speed as the big guy. Well, I can't afford that. Well, now the big guy's all you see and you're the little
guy. But their argument is always, well, hey, the big guy exists. You think that we're not going to talk to the big guy? Big guy's going to pay more than you pay. So we're going to go talk to him right now. And we all know the truth because, not because we know the owner of Netflix better than we know Donald Trump or anyone else. We just know stereotypically that when this is going down this road, it never ends where the little guy gets the win. Right. It just never does. Right. And so that's not a negative knock on anyone. But if you have a tendency to create that stereotype, you're going to have to deal with that. I get chastised a lot for my stereotype talk and the racism and this, that, and the other. And I sit there and I go, listen, it's not racism. I don't hate black people. I love black people. Got a lot of black friends. My oldest friend in the world is black. We've talked about this. We talked about this on the last show. Mm-hmm. I even went as far as to devil advocacy and say, do you believe that you're getting mother effed by the white culture? And because I'm not feeling that as a person who's white within the culture, that there's this overbearing need to hold black people down. Or women down. I don't feel that. Tony, you're a white guy in our culture. I mean, technically, Portuguese Italian. But still,
I'm Latino.
Work within the white world. You're around white people 24 hours a day, seven days a week. Okay. Do you get the vibe that they want to hold black people down?
No, but I think the thing is also, it's with so many diverse classifications of people.
Right, sure.
Why is one group of people trying to claim oppression more than anybody else?
Because of slavery. And justifiably so, actually, because slavery happened.
It did.
And no one else had that problem except for Japanese Americans who were interned during World War
One. But let's hold on a second.
So Japanese Americans.
There is other countries in this world.
And where Native Americans who were pushed off their land.
There was as dangerous a problem with this horrible atrocity to humankind. And those other countries don't have the same kind of, you know, you owe me status for today. Well, like, I mean, yes, I get it. This horrible atrocity took place in our country. However,
well, I asked Jonathan, just because you weren't here in privy to the show,
okay,
and you haven't heard the show.
Sure.
I asked Jonathan,
okay,
does he feel like he's being oppressed?
Okay. What did he say?
And he said, of course I do. And I said, okay. At what point is enough time gone by to where we're not constantly labeling the situation over and over? Like, hey, listen, there's great photos of me when I was in high school and middle school, and I love those photos, and I remember them.
Sure.
I remember in my head. But I don't need them every day of the week, every week of the year. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, like every once in a while, I'll see it, and it will rear its ugly head, and it's not an ugly head for me, but I'll see those pictures.
Sure.
Yeah, they happened. Those things happened. But I can't sit there and just constantly fawn over that time period.
But it's also the same thing.
That's
like,
my opinion.
For now, there is like for people to feel like they're being oppressed or they get selectively picked upon, or whatever the case. And yes, it happens a lot, and it might and it does happen, and that's not fair. The problem is that you should be looked at for the merit of what you of who you are.
Sure.
You should be looked at for the merit of what you are bringing to whatever the circumstance might be. If it's a job, who's the best candidate for the job? It shouldn't be a matter of saying, oh, well, you know, we really need to fill this quota of whatever, whether it be of white people or Asian people or African-American people or Hispanic people.
This discussion leads, what you're saying, leads down the thing I brought up off the air to you, which was the Star Wars writers. Sure. And how they picked the two Game of Thrones white guys to write it, and they turned it around, and the number 25 top Twitter hashtags trending under Star Wars hashtag was black individuals who were verified for the most part,
you know,
saying once again, a large franchise, and they don't care about black people and minorities or women. That's why they got these two white writers, and I go,
let's do it.
But I don't think that's fair.
I will strap myself in and let's fly this baby.
Do it.
Here we go. First off, Kathleen Kennedy got questioned back when J.J. Abrams was announced as the person at the helm of Star Wars back before Episode 7. And people came at her like the thunder from Mount Olympus, saying, how dare you not pick a woman or this or somebody else to take over this franchise. How dare you take J.J. Abrams? She goes, he was the one who came with the best idea. It had nothing to do with being a man or woman of the color of skin. No women came to me and pitched me an
idea
for
Star Wars. Did you want me to put together a bad Star Wars movie? Because I could have chose a different story that looks nothing like what you love.
Well, I think the thing is it's like this. If somebody wants, like, the decision of who takes over a franchise or directs a movie or anything else should not be dependent upon their gender, should not be based upon their race, should not be based upon their religion. It should be, is this person coming with the right ability to tell the story? That's the most important thing. Who is the right person to tell the story? And it doesn't matter what your race, gender, or history, or whatever it is. It doesn't matter at all. The difference is can somebody walk in this room and pitch the people who are going to write the check their idea, their story, and this is the story I want to tell. I need your assistance to make it. And all of a sudden they say, I like that. Here, sir, or ma'am, or whoever, here's a check, go make that movie because I want to see it. You know, that's what happens. The difference is, if somebody wants to sit here and say, oh, well, Star Wars isn't black enough, or female enough, or whatever else, you know something? Then take your pen out and a piece of paper and start writing your own story.
That's it.
And
story.
Call Kathleen Kennedy. Her office is on the Universal lot.
Or IMDb Pro. Oh, IMDb Pro.
You know, go to IMDb Pro and find out how to get a hold of Kathleen Kennedy, and you go pitch your idea. You
know, I hope to God we
Ryan
get some,
Johnson
some advertising money from IMDb.
Ryan Johnson, I'll call my buddy Kev Smith and be like, hey, Kev, hook me up with that IMDb money, baby. You got a lot of it. So Ryan Johnson was walking across the lot with Kathleen Kennedy one day during post-production on Star Wars and said, you know, it would really be a shame that this saga and franchise is to end after Episode 9. And she goes, you know, I think you're right. Why don't you write three more? Was it because he was a white guy? No, it wasn't because he was a guy.
Just happenstance, because that conversation
because he
happened.
Was the one who said, hey, what about this? You know, I heard a news story the other day that talked about just jobs and people who are willing to get out there and negotiate for their new rates, how people are apparently not really negotiating for new rates. And in the statistical study, it even said how this is not a biased thing, this is literally a statistical thing, that men were more apt to negotiate for a higher salary than women. It's not a matter of us paying women less, it's that they're more apt to negotiating. Now, what I think's
heinous...
Well,
no, historically, they just pay women less.
What I think's heinous is that women get paid less. What I think is heinous is that somebody wants to nefariously hide,
Hashtag nefarious going to be our second word for Merriam-Webster?
Very much so.
Petty and nefarious.
Because here's the thing. Like, some of my best friends, who I work with every day,
horrible
and hold
writers.
In the highest esteem,
horrible writers.
Are
horrible.
All women. You know, the
horrible
people
writers
who I,
too, right? They're women and they're horrible writers. That's why they don't get paid as much.
No, they're great writers. My partner. I'm developing a screenplay myself, which we're not going to get.
You'll
into
be
details.
Developing it next year and the year afterwards. So we'll catch up with you in 2025.
But we'll discuss that when it comes to fruition. But I'm working diligently with an amazing young female writer from Vancouver, You know, I'm not. It's like it doesn't matter. If it's a, it's like she wrote the Saw original meets script.
Candyland.
No.
Okay.
It's not that. But the difference is, it didn't matter to me that it was written by a man or a woman. It doesn't matter what whether she was white, black, or Hispanic. It didn't matter. She wrote a great story. And if somebody wants to sit there and say,
and I will be the first to defend Tony and say this: Tony does do his due diligence when it comes to his job. That's why I appreciate the work Tony does. So I know that if he chose a specific person to work with, he actually went through probably hundreds of different scripts figuring out which ones he liked. And there were probably people that were really close to her, like almost equal in quality of script, that he could have chose them. But like, he made a decision specifically for her for whatever reason. There might have been one little material thing, like the story and overall everything might have been perfect, but when he talked on the phone to these people and then he talked to her, she just came off with a more congenial personality that worked out with him than these people did. Not that they're bad. It just, it seemed to flow better. That happens all the time.
And also, and you're right, a lot of it was the ability to work side by side and partner with. And I was very upfront with my partner, my writing partner, on this whole process. I was like, I don't want to take your script and give it to somebody else to ghostwrite and you get the credit. No. You have the challenge of writing this story. You are the writer. It's your voice. We're going to keep it you. And that's what she always appreciated. So, I mean, yeah, no, it's, I, you know, look at people for the merit and what they do. Okay. Because, you know, trust me, the person who will probably win the Oscar this year is not a white man and it's not a woman, but it's a Hispanic man.
It won't be Roman J. Esquire. I can tell you that. Which guy?
It'll probably be Guillermo del Toro, who just won the DGA award.
You don't think
for The Shape of Water.
Oh, you're talking about the director.
The director.
Okay, fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us on this episode of The Cue. First off, I want to thank JohnBealRoofing.com. That's our web sponsor every single week.
Thanks, John Beal.
If you have any roofing or siding issues or anything like that, check out JohnBealRoofing.com. They'll give you the most competitive price. Also, thank you to Tony Cabral.
Yes.
Once again, joining us and hanging out to discuss all the things in the world.
All of the
world. We got everything out that we wanted to talk about. These conversations, these are natural to us.
They always run out of time.
Literally, we'll get off the air and we'll go hang out for another hour.
Oh yeah.
Just talking.
And discussing how these shows started.
And that's another entire hour that we could have recorded. Mm-hmm. And literally, with me and Tony getting together, we could do like, seriously, maybe a 13 to 14 week run of shows within one night. Like, literally, we could just go over a couple of nights. We could just go and go and go. So, these are conversations. So, if you like Tony,
yes,
follow him on Twitter, at Ace Films, A-C-E.
Ace Films 1.
Ace Films 1. Is that the same on Instagram?
Yes. On Twitter and Instagram, it's Ace Films 1. It is, the website's acefilms.com.
All right.
Or facebook.com/Facebook. On Facebook, it's Ace Films.
And if they want to get a hold of you, acefilms.com. You just said that.
Yeah, acefilms.com.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us. If you want to check out The Cue now, I am at Mark Bland on Twitter, MarkBland. And also at The Cue now, TheQNOW. You get story ideas. You got a letter you want to write. I haven't got any letters from listeners. I really haven't asked lately. Go ahead and send me some letters from your listeners out
Give
there.
Give him some good topics to talk about. I want to hear about
some,
back.
Some sexual provocation.
No.
No?
No. I want to see some, a good
DVD
topic.
Laser discs. Laser discs with things
I
on
know
them.
You've got that one follower who's got that burning question that they're going to send in. He or she's going to send in. And you're going to go,
I do not have herpes.
I'm calling Tony and we're going to do a live phone call for a show on this topic.
We could do a
I
Skype.
Want to see
we could do a Skype.
Oh, yeah.
We can definitely do a Skype. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it. We'll see you guys next time on The Cue.
I got money in the bank. Shout out what you drank. I got money in the bank. Shout out what you drank. I got money in the bank. Shout out what you drank. I got money in the bank. Shout out what you drank. I got money in the bank. Shout out what you drank. I got money in the bank.